As you turn it there, by way of introduction, Chris and I reminded us how this chapter in Psalms is the longest book in the Bible, with over 176 verses, and many people credit David as the author. And in this song, David is talking about the benefit of keeping God's law and the blessings that come from following it. So let us read this real quick. Verse 9, it says this: "How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word." Let us pray real quick. Father God, thank you so much for another day to be here, another Sabbath day with your people. Father, I pray as I get ready to preach your word that you would have me behind the cross. The jitters and nerves I have, I just trust in your spirit. And I pray for the people here that's listening, that they would leave here encouraged, just learning more about who you are and clinging to the cross. And so, Father, I pray you have me behind the cross and you deliver what you want the people to hear from you and not from KJ. And these I pray for your name. Amen. Have you guys ever, at nighttime, been in the bed, with your phone in your hand, scrolling on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever social media you use, and you're scrolling and you see something you're not supposed to see, and your mind, you tell yourself, I know I need to watch this, or I know I need to get on this, but you find yourself clicking on it. Maybe you've been to a restaurant, you're trying to go on a diet, and you tell yourself, you know, I've been, you know, struggling with gluttony, or I've been struggling with eating a certain item. And you go to the restaurant, and if it's Texas Roadhouse, those rolls come out. If it's whatever restaurant you like, whenever that food comes out, the temptation you've been fighting is very tempting and right in front of you. Whatever it is, or maybe in high school you grew up, in middle school, college, you had friends that were unbelievers, or maybe at the time you were an unbeliever at the time, and these friends did a particular sin, and when you guys are all around, it was hard not to commit that sin because of temptation. I looked at a few examples of how the world says that we as people should fight temptation. And one article states, the best way to avoid temptation is distraction. The human mind functions in a very organized manner. When it gets close to something it can get tempted to, it will automatically drive the sequence of thoughts in that direction. So when you feel yourself getting tempted towards something you don't wish to get tempted to, you distract yourself. Another article, this guy, fancy PhD in psychology, his name is Marlon Brandon. He says, I want to ask the same question about temptation. Put a rubber band around your hand and pull it. When the temptation pops into your mind, snap the band hard, the temptation will disappear. And after a while, the temptation will be associated with the pain, the rubber band. So you see that these two people say, number one, we should fight temptations by distraction. And number two, you should fight it by associating temptation with the pain. But what does the Bible say we should fight temptation with? In our world, as I kind of just mentioned, sin is all around us. You guys know Jesus says be in this world and not of it. And yet, we who are Christians have been regenerated by the Spirit, but this flesh that we have, it still struggles with various temptations all around us. And I think this is what this text is getting at, how a young man in particular, but also the whole church as a whole, struggles with temptations. So I believe the Holy Spirit, through David, left this psalm in our particular verse to encourage us who struggle with our flesh and temptations to be able to fight it. So if you don't leave here knowing anything else, just remember this sentence: by embracing God's word, we can maintain purity in our lives. By embracing God's word, we can maintain purity in our lives. And you may ask the question, how is that possible? Well, my 2 points will address this, but first point, by embracing God's word, we can find the source of purity. So you guys look down in verse 9 real quick. It says this: how can a young man cleanse his way? So before we unpack this verse real quick, it's worth noting that Chris already mentioned, and Jacob been preaching to this, each 8 verses goes to the Hebrew alphabet. Every verse, you know, 1 through 8, the beginning verse, it starts with the Hebrew letter alphabet. And now right here, if you look down, it says Beth, signifying a shift or a change to the next Hebrew alphabet. Now it doesn't affect the context of what's going on, but it's still worth noting that this is how maybe the children back then would memorize the alphabet. But look back down to that verse real quick. How can a young man cleanse his way? Now I'm using the New King James Version, and it says how, but if you have the KJV, it may say wherewithal. ESV says how also, and the Hebrew word is mouth, M-A-H. But if you use a KJV, like I said, wherewithal means by what? So the translation of this verse could be something like, how does a young man, or what does a young man do to cleanse his way, or how does a young man cleanse his way? Whatever interpretation you have, there's still a question being posed in front of us. But before we unpack the question, look down again in the verse. It says, how can a young man? Now, most Bible commentators, they're kind of various opinions on what young man could be referring to. And I just kind of want to bore you guys, but there's three different positions that I've seen. One view says that since David is the author of this psalm, he's talking about himself. How can a young man and myself cleanse my way in this temptation's world? And people who hold to that view, in the same book, you guys turn to verse 100, Psalms 119, verse 100, it says this, I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts. Now the word ancients can be better translated elders, being people older. And so basically, I understand more than the elders, which signifies or assumes that David's young age, he has more wisdom than the teachers or the older people than himself. Another view is that any young man is meant because young men are commonly lacking wisdom and experience with dealing with temptation of this world. And commentators who are in favor of this position, they mention how all young men are liable to sins and fleshly lusts. You guys remember in 2 Timothy, you know, Timothy was a young minister and Paul obviously older. But in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 22, Paul says this, flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So Paul in this epistle is talking to a young minister in Timothy, and he tells him to flee youthful lusts. Youthful lusts in this verse would be the opposite of righteousness, faith, love, and peace. So I believe the lust of the flesh is identical with youthful lust, because again, the opposite of what youthful lust is the opposite of righteousness, faith, love, and peace. And these youthful passions can probably be defined in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. It says, the wrong things the simple stuff does are clear. Committing sexual sins, being morally bad, doing all kinds of shameful things, worshiping false gods, taking part in witchcraft, hating people, causing trouble, being jealous, angry, and selfish, causing people to argue and divide in separate groups, being filled with envy, getting drunk, and having wild parties. So all those sins will be things that a young man commonly face in this world, and by being younger, they're not able to fight it as much. And so this is kind of what the commentators in this position would take on what that would mean. Now the last view is that young man is referring to a babe in Christ. So any young person who just recently got saved, it's hard for them to fight temptation. Now, it's of my opinion that point one makes the most sense within the context of the whole Psalm 119, because David spends his whole psalm talking about the supremacy of God's law, the excellence of God's law, and the benefits that come from keeping and following it. And you guys are looking actually verse 5-8, verses 1-4, he talks about the benefits of keeping it, and 5-8 talks about his inability to keep it. And verse 9 picks up this same thought process. So how can a young man in myself, David's referring to, cleanse his way? Now in Hebrew, the word cleanse means to be innocent, clean, or count pure. Many of your Bibles may say pure instead of cleanse, but it's the same Hebrew word. And it's actually only used 8 different times in the Old Testament. One of those occurrences in Job 15 verse 14, it says this, what is man that he could be pure? And he who is born of a woman that he could be righteous. Another in Psalm 73 verse 13, surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. And lastly, Proverbs 20 verse 9, who can say I have made my heart clean? So every time you see this Hebrew word for cleanse or pure, it's normally associated with being the opposite of being righteous. It's to be free of sin. And you guys look back down to verse 9, the last word in our verse is way. And that can be better translated to manner or path. So if we could properly translate this verse within the context, how can a young man and myself cleanse my path, or how can I keep my life pure? It's the question that David is posing before us. Mm. Now, cleansing again implies there is pollution, an infection, there's a disease, there's filth, right? If you guys don't know, every person that comes in this world is conceived in sin. The same person that wrote this psalm in Psalm 51, verse 3, he says, I was born in iniquity in my mother's womb. So all of us, nobody comes in this world born a Christian, yet we're actually born the opposite, hating the things of God. And David, by implication, is saying, how can I cleanse my way if I come into this world a sinner? But it just don't stop there. It's not just talking about original sin, but once a person is regenerated, they still have this flesh. with this flesh, how can I fight sin when this flesh only wants sin? Similar, Jeremiah 13, verse 23 says this, can an Ethiopian change the color of his skin? Can a leopard take away his spots? Neither can you start doing good, for you have always done evil. David has already taught in verse 1 that those who walk in the law of the Lord are blessed and undefiled. Undefiled means without sin or blemish. Yet now in our verse, similar to verse 5, David sees himself as impure with sin and not in accord with the law of God. But does not David's cry speak to your heart today also? Have you ever asked the same question? How can I, a young woman, young man, older, middle, however old you are, cleanse my way or purify my lifestyle? What hope is there for me? The more I read the law that is good, the more I find myself given to various temptations and sins. One of them may be pride, anger, pornography, procrastination, whatever sin it is that you struggle with. Can you not also agree here with David? How can I purify my ways? How can I cleanse my ways? How is it possible to cleanse one's ways who has been so accustomed to this fleshly world to follow my own selfish desires, especially when temptation is all around us? David is asking that question. I believe the Lord's teacher left this here for us also to unpack this. How can we cleanse our ways? We, like David, are unable to cleanse ourselves, and this verse is a reminder of our sinful nature. In fact, I would push farther and say not only does this verse show of us our sinful nature, but it also reminds us of the various temptations the world that we face. But it pushes us to the solution, not just the problem. God is the solution. If one's ways are not pure by birth, because of what you're saying, we need a righteousness outside of ourselves. And again, like I said, God is that solution. God is the source of all purity and cleansing oneself. In fact, we learned that the purpose of the law that David esteemed so highly was not so that we as humans could keep it to be right with God, to justify ourselves, but it was an aid to point somebody to Christ. In Galatians 3, Paul says this, is the law then against the promises of God? Certainly not. For there had been a law given which could have given life, truly righteousness would have been by the law. But the scripture has confined all under sin that the promises of faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore, the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ that we might be justified by faith. So Paul says the law is an aid to bring one to Christ. This chapter, the law functions the same way. That David speaks so highly of it, and then you see a shift in verses 5-8. And in verse 9, it's the same kind of shift. That man, this law is esteemed so highly, but I can't keep it. But his focus is not on David, the focus is on Christ. But you may ask the question, where in this text do we seek God and find that righteousness outside of ourselves to navigate sins? And our point two helps us with this. And that's by embracing God's word, we can navigate through temptations. Look back down in the same verse. It says this, by taking heed according to your word. Now heed in Hebrew has a few different definitions. One of those definitions is to guard, to protect, attend, mark, observe, preserve, regard, and reserve. And it's seen in a few different places in there throughout the Bible. One of those in Genesis 2:15, you guys might know this, but it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. Exodus chapter 10, verse 27, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart and would not let them go. Then Pharaoh said to him, get away from me, take heed to yourself and see my face no more. Leviticus 18, verse 4, you shall observe my judgments and keep my ordinances to walk in them. I, the Lord, am your God. So in all three verses that I just used, when the Bible used the word heed, it's a Hebrew word, means Shema, that's the actual word for it. It typically refers to listening with the intention on obeying or to give careful attention to something. So in our case, it would be better translated, how does a young man cleanse his way so as to make himself pure in the manner that he walks? And the answer, which it will be by listening and giving careful attention to God's law with the intention to obey. So David is telling us the solution or the remedy for weak Christians who struggle with temptation in this world is God's law, the word of God. Look right down in verse 9, it says this, by taking heed to your word. Word should be better translated law of God, as that fits the theme of the entire chapter. You gotta look at verse 1. David says this, blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Verse 4, you have commanded us to keep your law diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep your law. Verse 6, then I would not be ashamed. When I look into all your laws, I will keep your law. Oh, do not forsake me utterly. So over and over and over, David is constantly referring to the law of God. And here in our verse, the law of God is a remedy to help us with temptations. So any young man like David, if they will govern themselves according to the law of God, if he makes the law the rule of his life and conduct, he will be able to navigate temptations, but also remain pure. But it's not just any young man, it's also anyone in the church. Woman, man, older, middle, young, how old you guys are. By making the law of God your rule of thumb, you also be able to remain pure and fight temptations. But notice in our text, the only remedy and cure to fighting temptation, this text didn't say distraction, this text didn't say pain, but this text points us to the word of God. The implications of all other things will fail in making one pure, but the word of God will never fail. John, in 1 John 2:17 says this, and the world is passing away in the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. One of my favorite verses happened to come from this same chapter, Creston read it, and Call to Worship. But in Psalms 119, verse 103, it says, how sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your law, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. And then verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Does the Holy Spirit inside of you cause you to have the same cry for God's word? Is God's word a light to your path? How do you fight temptations? Is it your own selfish desires, or is it truly is God's word? But a few more questions that we can ask based on this text. I got five of them, but I ask the first one. How can you apply principles and teachings of the Bible to your daily life to maintain purity? How can you apply principles and teachings of the Bible to your daily life to maintain purity? Question two, what practical steps can you take to align your actions with God's law to maintain a pure lifestyle? Question three, in what areas of your life do you need to seek guidance from Scripture to stay on the pure path of purity? Question four, how can we cultivate a habit of regular Bible reading or study to strengthen our commitment to purity? And question five, are there any specific temptations or struggles you face that you need to bring to God in prayer and strength for guidance? So there's a couple of questions that this text brought out that I thought would be helpful. But in closing, like to quote John Calvin over the same verse, he says this, if the law of God possesses the power of restraining the sins of youth, so as to preserve pure and upright all who take it as a guide, then assuredly, when they come to maturity or older age, their irregular desires are defeated. It will prove the best antidote for correcting their sins. The reason, therefore, so much evil prevails in the world arises from men wallowing in their own impurity and being disposed to yield more to their own inclination than heavenly instruction. The only sure protection is to regulate ourselves according to God's word. So essentially, John Calvin is saying the reason why the world is so wicked and pervasive in the world around us, so much temptation all around us, is because men are keeping the law to themselves, not the law of God. Mm-hmm. And you take the law of God as your rule of thumb to follow, you can maintain purity and fight temptation. But if the law of God is not your tool or antidote for these things, you're going to keep constantly struggling. So I had one question or one statement that we kind of pushed throughout the sermon. And it says, by embracing God's word, we can maintain purity in our lives. And we answer this question in 2 points. The first point supported this is that we find the source of purity. The second point was that we can navigate through temptations. But in closing, it's always good to close on Christ. Maybe many of you guys are here, you heard this, and you're like, the law of God, you know, what is that? Creston mentioned it this morning, that the law of God can be summarized in two. There's over 613 commandments in the Bible, but all those commandments can be summarized in two. That is to love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. And yet, how many of us, well, I just use Jesus as an example. Jesus went 33 years without sinning, and I can't even go 30 seconds without sinning. And yet the Bible says you should love your God with all your heart and mind. Who can truly do that? But not only that, God gave Adam a covenant called the Covenant of Works. And in this covenant, Adam and all his posterity was promised eternal life by obeying God's covenant in the garden. But by Adam sinning, we all sin in Adam. So because of this, eternal life is not be able to be had by our works. we need another righteous outside of ourselves, because our works can't get us to heaven. The same commandments I just mentioned, one of those says, don't lie. Everyone in this room is already lied before. Another one says, don't steal. I'm sure maybe you guys have borrowed something and forgot to give them back. And that would be thief. Another one is don't covet. And I'm sure everyone in this room can also say that they wanted something that somebody else has had. And yet, that's the standard it takes to get to heaven, which is perfection. That's only three commandments. That's why we need a righteous outside of ourselves, and the law that God gave us was all to point to Christ. Christ kept all these laws, and by Christ, we can trust in him for salvation. So if you're here today, you don't have a relationship with Christ, or you're just keeping the law because of religious purposes, I pray that you trust in Christ today for salvation. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for another day, like I said, just to be here with your people. I pray that the sermon was encouraging.